Kew Gardens, many, many people go, oh, yeah, that's where that girl was killed and nobody helped.
And, you know, we were just talking last week about gang raids in public housing, and it's the same kind of thing that can happen where protecting a community becomes accusing even the victims of crime as being somehow culpable. You know, communities in which crime occurs become criminal communities.
Yes.
Well, almost every story of imperfect journalism or troubling journalism is also a story of good journalism, and that's true here. You mentioned earlier Long Island Press, which from the beginning talked about Kitty as a whole person, you know, right from the start. But the New York Times, we should be clear, has revisited the original kind of fableization.
Jim Rassenberger, in 2004, as a freelancer, does some amazing investigative work and finds Marianne Zelenko. So for 40 years, not only was Kitty sort of erased as a crime victim and we knew almost next to nothing about her, but her lover is also erased, even though the police had brought her in for questioning, brought in all their friends. Everyone knew, including Rosenthal, that there was a woman that Kitty not only shared her apartment with, but her life. Rassenberger finds Zelenko and convinces her to speak with him. And for the first time, we get the voice of someone who knew a whole other side of Kitty and Kitty's life. The other news person that did amazing work in 1984 was a man named John Melia, who had been writing for Queens newspapers for years. And when I talked to him a couple years ago, he said to me, you know, the story never smelled right. It just didn't fit what we knew about that neighborhood. And we kept saying, we shouldn't run with this. But they were overruled because it was the New York Times.
We've been speaking with Marcia Gallo, assistant professor of history at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. The book is No One Helped, Kitty Genovese, New York City, and the Myth of Urban Apathy. It's out now from Cornell University Press. Marcia Gallo, thank you so much for joining us this week on Counterspin.
Thank you so much, Janine. I really appreciate it.
And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. For more information about FAIR, check out our website, fair.org. The show is engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
KBOO Portland. The time is 6:01 p.m. Coming up next, right here on KBOO, is Bread and Roses.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the United States premiere of Liza, 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 produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs from May 5th through the 28th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. Join Liza Minnelli at three different stages of her life, often all on stage at the same time, with plenty of songs, backstories about the iconic and troubled daughter of Judy Garland, with a bit of dancing and prancing and much humor among the frightening tales of drink, drug abuse, broken legs, strokes, and hip replacements. Again, that's Liza, 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 May 5th through the 28th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Pan-African Film Series. This month, May 18th at 6 p.m., will be A Message from Women in Gambia at the Smith Student Union at Portland State University. A Message from the Women of Gambia will feature young women organizers from the All-African Women's Revolutionary Union and the All-African People's Revolutionary Party, speaking about organizing for Pan-Africanism in Gambia and throughout Africa. Again, that's a message from the Women of Gambia, a part of the Pan-African Film Festival, Wednesday, May 18th at 6 p.m. at the Smith Student Union Room 333 at PSU, 1826 Southwest Broadway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
are marching at the dawn of the day. All the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing bread and roses.
It takes a second. Oh, hi. Sorry, we were just expecting Beyonce to be playing right there, just so you knew what you were getting into just then. So this is Bread and Roses. I'm your host, Pamela Santos, and this...
Desiree Dudley.
You're also a member of Bread and Roses.
That's real.
That's okay. Since I already just said it. Tonight, we're going to be talking about Beyoncé's film and visual album, Lemonade. We've invited a roundtable of Black artists from diverse gender identities, and they're going to be here in studio and in a clip, in an interview for later on.
Tonight we're going to talk about Beyoncé's Lemonade. We're planning to discuss the narrative arc of the album, particularly the focus on femme and women community and the emphasis on place, as well as we're going to talk about some national critiques that have happened online, think pieces, and the idea of healing and reconciliation, which I feel like is, we'll talk about it. It'll be great.
What we're trying to do is keep it to what's relevant. What are the valuable critiques? And I can already let you know, we're not talking about celebrity gossip. So we're not going to get into who Becky is, and you'll find out what we're referencing in a second. We're trying to make this show accessible for people who have already heard and seen Lemonade, but also for people who haven't yet but have heard of this. I mean, where are you? You know, you heard of this. This is a cultural event. But we're trying to keep it relevant to really the major themes, and a lot of it is just the gossip part and trying to figure out, focusing on the cheating, rumors, all of that stuff, we're not going to get into, except as it pertains to the larger theme. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Okay. And so we're going to have, the hardest part of, I think, about this to make it accessible is for the people who didn't even hear of it, but you're just sort of like, oh, I should kind of know. I sort of see it all around. I was trying to look for a lemonade recipe, and then all of these things about Beyonce keeps coming up in Google, and I'm so confused. What is this? So we're just going to play, coming up, just a few clips in a montage. And let me just already kind of set up the clips. Not all of it is from Lemonade itself. What Beyonce did was get permission for, and you're going to have to help me because I've been messing up her name, this Somali Brit poet's name.
Warsan Shire.
Man, it's like, I don't know why I was messing it up before. And she got permission, adapted poetry, and made it fit into this narrative of the hour-long film that had premiered for one night, for a whole day, I would say, on HBO. And after that, we're going to go right into, if you don't know about it, there's a Prince clip, and you'll hear Prince's blessed voice for just 10 seconds. Because there's a little kind of, I would call it a little reference in one of her songs, Don't Hurt Yourself, which then you'll also hear a little bit of. And then we're going to get into the song, a slower song called Forward. So I'm just preparing you. You're going to hear a little bit. And then we're going to come back in the middle of Forward. So.
For women who are difficult to love. You are a horse running alone, and he tries to tame you, compares you to an impossible highway, to a burning house, says you are blinding him, that he could never leave you, forget you, want anything but you. You dizzy him, you are unbearable. Every woman before or after you is doused in your name. You fill his mouth, his teeth ache with the memory of taste, his body just a long shadow seeking yours, but you are always too intense, frightening in the way that you want him, unashamed and sacrificial. He tells you that no man can live up to the one who lives in your head, and you try to change, didn't you? Close your mouth more, try to be softer, prettier, less volatile, less awake. But even when sleeping, you could feel him traveling away from you in his dream. So, what did you want to do, love? Split his head open. You can't make homes out of human beings. Someone should have already told you that. And if he wants to leave, then let him leave. You are terrifying and strange and beautiful. Something not everyone knows how to love.
Well, I can't be played. Person trying to play me plays themselves.
You hurt yourself. Try not to hurt yourself. Will you play me? Play yourself. Don't play yourself. Will you lie to me? You lie to yourself. You're only lying to yourself. Will you love me? You love yourself. Love God herself.
Forward, best foot first, just in case. When we made our way till now, it's time to loosen, it's time to fight. Forward, now we can hold doors open for a while. Now we can be open for a while. Forward.
So that was exciting, getting a little bit of just all of those one after the other kind of clips in there. You're listening to Bread and Roses. We are covering Beyonce's Lemonade today. This is going to be a really, what I would think of as almost like a collage. It's not just a round table. But we're finally getting to the round table part of things. I'm going to let our live guests in studio introduce themselves. We're going to start with Janae here.
Hi, I'm Janae. I am a local artist and resident in Portland and a longtime Beyonce fan since the Destiny's Child days.
My name is Intisar Abioto. I'm a photographer, a writer, and an artist. I am a Beyonce appreciator. Yes, and I am looking forward to talking about Lemonade.
And this is like the most amazing timing because I feel like the universe is like getting it ready here for us. We have a third guest, and I will let them introduce themselves right here.
Hi, I'm Kiki Nicole. I'm a poet. They, them pronouns. Very cute, very black, very trans.
And we went around at first, I didn't say this part, but Janae and Intisar had said they were, how would you call it, Beyonce. I want to put like numbers to this. Like, how hot of a fan would you say? 1 to 5, Janae.
I'm sorry. Probably like a 2.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I remember. This is the reason why I asked you. This is why I asked you. Because I was like, I'm holding it at the 5 level for me. So I needed people that were not like the pure stans like coming here.
Yeah, like people were referencing songs like from her other albums, and I was like, I'm sorry, I've listened to you know some of her albums maybe once.
You're like Bills.
Yeah, yeah, like Say My Name, those tracks. That's when I stopped.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I may be like I'm kind of a 2 or 3. I'm not sure if like the numbers work for me. I feel like I wouldn't call myself a Beyonce fan. Like, I don't know all of her songs. I'm not like just like, you know, just some people just like, Beyonce. I'm probably more of an appreciator. Like, I appreciate her work. I appreciate her framing. I would say I appreciate her. Yes. And her songs, some of her songs, yes.
I feel like I'm a 6. I don't know. I'm like, yikes.
I'm balancing this. It's going to be good.
Who am I?
I'm sorry.
No, I don't care. This is not like a personal attack to me. I don't feel any type of way. I was like, whatever, but my best friend has been like a member of the Beehive since like conception. And I feel like that was just like being close proximity to that just changed it. I don't know. But also, I don't care. But also, I have a lot of feelings.
And this is the perfect outlet for it because, like I said, we're going to get what we've been trying to do is kind of set up these clips in case people didn't completely consume Lemonade yet. So you know what we're going to be talking about. But also that we're kind of running through this spectrum of emotions, right, when we get through the listening of this album/film. I don't know. So I think I'm a 5 on the Beyonce stan thing. Like at this point, but you know what? I'm going to be real. Back in the Destiny's Child days, I think I was like at a 1 or let me take that back. I really like the song. So like 2 and 3, but there was this part of me when I was younger. I think you get confused when you're looking at like really pretty girls or celebrities as icons and being like, okay, I can't, because for me, my generation was like looking at J-Lo and like, oh, I cannot look that hot, I don't know. And so I had this kind of weird feeling around it. And then as I got older and you just kind of mature into an adult, I got more comfortable at just being like, oh no, Beyonce is for everybody, it's really okay, it's okay.
I mean, especially when Lemonade came out and all my friends were like, did you watch it? And I'm like, you listen to Beyonce? And they're like, no, but I mean, everyone has seen Lemonade, so go watch it.
And like, I mean, because you had to kind of also watch it, right? Like you had to watch it. Like, we're such a full house in this studio that everyone's just going to have to figure out their personal space bubbles, and I'm so sorry.
chill.
We're good. Okay.
But yeah, it was pretty much, I feel like I consumed it like beginning to end. And then when you consume it like from the beginning and it starts out with that like narrative arc, and I'm going to let Tasari get that started.
I mean, yeah. Well, the narrative arc for Lemonade, because Lemonade very much is telling a story, particularly the visual component of it. But there's a narrative arc that starts with Pray You Catch Me, which we listened to a little bit earlier, and brings us actually to Formation at the end. But the movement from anger and hurt as a woman who is feeling betrayed by a partner through the various changes. It's almost like a modified sort of grief. There's grieving for the relationship, but at the end, coming to healing and reconciliation, which sort of brings it back around, the starting with anger and hurt and fear, and ending with healing and community and being held and reconciling partners. One piece of this that I really felt drawn to was the way that that Lemonade's very grounded in place and history and in images of women and femme community. So I wanted to open that piece up for discussion, what kind of themes maybe or visions of community did all of you draw from Lemonade?
Mm-hmm. When I first saw it, I kind of thought of imagery from any books by Toni Morrison, mm-hmm. kind of like that magic realism and how everything has this like kind of magical like air to it, and especially because all of her main characters are Black femme females. So, I mean, I definitely got that. I mean, I saw parallels for sure when I saw it, because all of Lemonade is, you know, takes place in the South, and most of Toni Morrison's novels are also in the South. So that, like, I feel like when I saw that, that was, I mean, it seemed pretty obvious to me. And then I would mention it to people and they were like, oh, I haven't read that much Toni Morrison, but to me, I was like, I felt like really connected for that one, you know, for the visuals in that case.
Yeah, for me, what I honestly,
I want to be ready for this.
Like, honestly, the reason, I mean, there are so many wonderful, awesome things, but honestly, I'm just here for the Black women. I'm just here for the ends.
Beautiful.
The ends. I mean, yes, it's all wonderful, so many wonderful things, but to me, that was the reason why I'm so here for it. I'm here for seeing them. I'm here for the images. I'm here for the moving images, the still moving images. I'm here for it. I love the, like, last, you know, like, the beginning is so awesome, like, the water breaking and all this, like, talking and, like, so much inner bravado expressed through the body and movement. And that's awesome. But I love when it transitions into this space of, like, ancestry and the images of the women and the trees and the shadows. And it takes on another space and time towards the ending that I felt really powerful about. So, yes, that's it for me. Yeah.
Can I start being critical, or like,
yes.
Can we?
It's
should
okay.
I chill?
It's okay. Really okay.
So I'm like, I'm definitely on that Toni Morrison tip. Like, I feel like I watched the thing and then I like cracked open my copy of Beloved and I like washed her eyes were washing God five times and I like put Daughters on the Dust on my like library hold and like I feel like I want to collect my menses and like put them in my plants and just feel like there's like something deep and ancestral and like not for you like stirring in my soul after watching it. But Beyonce in Lemonade is like trying to retell this like history of the South and the Black feminine in the South. I was reading Ashley Shackelford's piece on like where Lemonade is in for Black Fat Femmes. And it's like,
I read that.
Yeah, it's so good. But I'm just like, the South, you think of like that is where we were, you know. You think of Black women's bodies, we think of bodies. That body is not represented. It's very odd, except for when it's in reference to poverty. So, and like the real folks who like weren't asked to come on set, who were asked to like dress up and look regal, were kind of separate. That's not cool. But I thought about that kind of like a weird, I don't know, like a weird uppity Southern like hierarchy that Beyonce did. And like the privilege in that, like we are like three thinner Black femmes speaking on this too, which is not the best. But Beyonce.
And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the only kind of like non-ideal body types were the older women, but especially the mothers.
And the mothers,
of like, and so it was in that part forward. And so it's the mothers of slain Black, I can't even say all men, like boys. I mean, you know, Trayvon was still, I don't even want to speak of the other piece of news from today, but just saying, like, Trayvon's mom and
Eric Garner. Yeah, I got issues with that too, where they are in pain. Like, they're still grieving. They're deified, which is great and beautiful, but they're still grieving and they're desexualized. Whereas, like, there's, you know, don't hurt yourself. And everyone's just, like, getting ready for the club and, like, feeling empowered, like, in their own, like, desirability because they created that. Whereas, like, these mothers can't have that joy with them. Is it gonna... I'm so sorry. I can't
Thank
see.
Goodness for the delay.
Yikes. Where are the Black boys who... kill themselves? Where's Blake Brockington's children families? Where's like trans women's children families? Where are those folks like in this video? Where's Maya Hall's folks? Where's Penny Proud's folks?
And even in when Formation first came we have like such an amazing show that is just happening. All of it's happening. So even in when she first put out the single Formation, there were some critiques just saying that Beyonce was taking in LGBT culture, picking and choosing what she could use, and not really putting out. I'm like spacing out right now. Was it Big Freedia?
Big Freedia.
Thank you. I was like, I'm almost there. Okay. So then it's strange to just like pick, you know, little samples here, but not to actually have any coverage of Black trans lives lost.
Word.
Yeah. What? thank you so much for bringing that up, bringing all that up. What I sense. And this is, there's so much here. Yes. What I sense is that I appreciate Beyonce. Like, this was the first time, seeing this was the first time I could say, thank you, Beyonce. Like, I mean, from an inner place of, you know, thank you of, like, a real personal place. But I'm also very wary of us giving it to her. Like, what is produced, I mean, beyond her personal story, she's pulling on so much, a collective knowledge, a collective presence, collective histories, and, you know, and just like bravery and pain, and also Black women. So I wouldn't give her the symbolism of all of us, which I think is something that can happen with, oh, Lemonade, oh, whatever. Like, we've been out here being beautiful, being whatever, you know, like, yeah, like, and also there have been Black women or Black femme image makers who have worked really hard to bring these images even accessible to a public, and, you know, and being seen, you know, whether you're talking about, whether you're talking about the natural hair movement, whether you're talking about that culture, like, I kind of see Beyonce beyond her personal story as someone who feeds, who as like someone who garners things, a culture, and then presents it in a way with a view of people, with the eyes that people who aren't as big as her don't have. So yeah, I feel I'm appreciative, but I'm also appreciative to all the black women who out here, whether it's like, you know, like black women in the South, just these different stories. Yes, that's how I feel. So I'm so here for what you had to say, because it's real. Like there weren't, there was a certain body type, and I'm also from the South. I'm from Memphis, and you know, my mom is from Greenville, Mississippi. So I know that presence, and it's real. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, yeah. Where are the ball girls at? Like. Everyone had hair. Yeah. I don't have hair. Where's the ball girls at? Just like for fun.
I feel like that was also kind of weird, because I was like, told my friend, like, it's great that they all have natural hair. And she's like, yeah, but they all don't have like natural, like half of them are probably have weaves in and all that. So
but
it's like,
they have
it's an image
in the thing too. I feel
like right. No. Yeah. She had braids, which looked like they were on point, but like, yeah, she was the only one. Everyone else is pretty. Yeah. Had the same look going on.
I had to think who were the older women. Like, they were the ones that maybe had weaves. I don't know. I had to think, like, they weren't, had to struggle to remember where the elders were in different parts of it, other than as, like, martyr, you know, like, kind of the symbols of, like, grief mothers.
Mm-hmm. Although I think there were actually... quite a number of women on the street, women and femmes, during Hold Up. She starts smashing windows, and I've seen this picture around the internet. There's one woman who's just like, what? Yeah. So there's a bunch of different images in that as well. I think that it is important to remember women and femme community, and that there is a certain image that's being put in there, as y'all mentioned. What did you think about the sort of love montage that happens
at the very
towards
end.
The end? All the photos that happened there. There were LGBTQ folks in among the general photos.
They got one couple.
I feel like there was non-black folks until the end of this. And then they just suddenly appeared.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, what? Is it for you? Are you trying that hard, Beyonce? Is this an iTunes commercial? Like, there was like one queer, like masculine couple, but they looked like a ad for It Gets Better. They looked like a Dan Savage thing.
I think there was a black lesbian couple as well.
There was. Though. That was the only one I loved. They're my favorite.
They were adorable.
So cute. But
I could swear there was one Asian.
There was one with a black masculine person. They were cute.
I think, yeah. And so this is a good segue for me to kind of say why I'm even here, by the way. saying about this, because I put this out that this episode is going to be about talking about Lemonade and really centering it on experiences of black people. And I am not black. I am a person of color. I'm a Filipina woman of color. But I just kept trying to think about, okay, it's not, and I've had this on when I had Intisar on my show talking about the appropriateness of who gets to talk about what. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in a lot of the think piece explosion that has come out, I think the general consensus, thankfully, is that people are acknowledging that this is this is kind of this ode to black women and black girls and to love themselves in just all these different ways. And it's hard for me to necessarily, like, it's not for me, and yet I still can appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And that's just a hard, when I say hard, I mean, it's not easy to try to say, okay, like, I am going to consume and appreciate this art and try to, like, understand all of these sources and things underneath it. But my physicality, like, my history, I can't grasp everything that's underneath that. But I can hope to learn from people who do. And that's mostly a lot of the purpose of trying to do this night and do this show, is just trying to talk to people who know more than me, and that's mm-hmm. fine. So this is a good segue into, we also had Margaret Jacobson recorded her for a good while, I'd say, with Tessara. But we're just going to play a short edited version of that. Marge had two different articles. One of them was specifically talking about, like, what it speaks to her as a Black woman. And then I'll not get into the other ones. But yeah, so we're going to be playing this this interview.
Well, I mean, it's art, right? So people are going to take from it what they're going to take from it. And they're allowed to form their opinions. And I think at first I got really angry at people who were really negative about it, because I felt like there was so much more to it than watching it the first time and the second time and the third time. And there were so many different...
Sorry.
It's okay. There are so many different identities that I feel like were addressed. And I feel like, as someone that is more feminine, being a Black person, I feel like there is so much that's always left out. And our Blackness isn't always, like, addressed. And I love that Beyoncé had this narrative of, yeah, maybe someone did do her wrong, and she was being crazy and jealous, and she's smiling as she's just walking around with a bat, and she's like, that's right, you know? And then it progresses to the point where, like, she's sad and she's sorry, and, like, it just shows that she was so much more than just this one side that we've always seen. And what I feel like is projected onto Black women. Mm-hmm. You have to be strong, and we don't get to be soft. If we're soft, we're told we have to be stronger. And I feel like we get to see white women embody so many different things, and we celebrate that. And here I was watching a Black woman get angry, be a boss, be like, I'm not sorry about this, because I'm not, like, I don't owe you anything. Be sad and mourn over love. Talk about a relationship with a parent. Talk about being a Black woman. Like, celebrate Black, like, all of these things. And she did it in an hour. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you just told our story. And maybe everyone can't relate to every part of it. Like, I can't. But there were still parts where I was like, that's me. That's me. I'm that woman standing over there. And there's so many different shades of, like, Black in it. And so I think it's really hard to see Black women critique it and be disappointed and be like, oh, you're trying to walk around all sexy, and they judge that. And it's like, why is it when it comes to feminism, we always think it's only okay if we downplay the feminine part, right? Like, we are not allowed to be femme. Can't rock all the makeup or, like, have whatever hair and wear heels, because that's just not, that's giving into patriarchy. No, that is all a part of feminism. Like, feminism embodies all of the types of females. Like, it is not limited. And I totally understand, like, the first waves of feminism and, like, why it was, like, do away with your makeup and all of this stuff and grow out your body hair. I do grow out all of my body hair. But the more same. I step into my queerness and the more I understand feminism, I'm like, it actually is okay for me to put makeup on if I want. It's okay for me to go get my eyebrows done. This is actually not going to keep me from being, like, this brilliant woman who's educated and intelligent and, like, trying to destroy fucking capitalism and the patriarchy. I can do that wearing heels. And I will do it. I didn't even like wearing heels, but now I like it because I'm empowered. And I feel like, I think having people breaking it down and talking about how, for them, it was really powerful is a really helpful way to go back to what you asked, of people understanding. Because no one is saying, thank you, Beyoncé, for being the god that we need and for saving us. All people are saying is, I feel seen. Like, and she put out for me. Like, the way that Twitter made you up and the way that black women were talking to each other and were feeling strong and were feeling strong. And, like, we were elevated and the way Facebook like, was elevated.
That is amazing and it was beautiful.
That is amazing. And I hate when people try to rain on that. And I hate when people try to rain on that. We're in this place of, like, I see you here and I see you and I see you and we are in formation.
We are here. We're not leaving. We've always been here.
Thank you, Beyonce, for giving us this opportunity. I think that I made so many friends on the internet.
And then, like, friends on the internet.
I think the day it came out, and I was out and about, and I saw black women, I was out and about, and I saw black women.
You know, like, it was this thing where we're all
like,
giving
your
like,
names.
It was this thing where we're all giving
and
your names.
And you feel threatened.
And I was like, good. Good, because like, good. We're all getting information, good. And we're all here.
We're all getting information, and we're all
done
here
being at the bottom.
Like, we're done being
done.
At the bottom. Like, we're done. We're done.
There's this part of me. There's this part of me.
Black women are really succeeding,
and black women are really succeeding,
right? Like, let's be real.
I'm, like, proud of it. I am proud that there was
proud of it.
I am proud that there was a
created, right?
Capitalism thought that we wouldn't be able to catch up.
That we wouldn't be able to catch up.
And she is brilliant and has done it better than anyone.
And I feel like that's right.
Like, people, you got her stuff. And you give people, you got her stuff.
And you give her to
quick. And you say, like, wants to take her, like, take notes. She wants the book. She wants the book.
I see books and a lot of people, 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 and a lot of people to get like any respect. And I grew up with wealthy black parents. And watching my parents still be treated like it didn't matter, right? Still be treated like has a line and has a line song is in. He talks about how he talks about how you're still a nigger when you're driving your Mercedes or whatever. Because nobody cares. Like you can make all of the money. You can make all of the money.
Maybe like shoot you.
Still tell you that you're nothing. That was the thing of seeing Beyonce and the fact that she's that woman, and she knows what it's like to be compared to white women. And she's still working ten times as hard, and she does what she has to. Right? And the way that people attack her, or attack like Serena, you know, things like that, where I'm kind of like, no, you take all that money, no. You need to do what you're doing. Keep donating it. Do what you're doing. Keep bringing us this magic. I doubted her for a little bit because I was like, you put out Beyonce.
The album was amazing.
And I remember I was watching Scandal when it came out, and I was just like, this is the blackest night of my life. I was like, this is the blackest night of my life. We just went out and hung out. And then she's like, there are 13 videos. And I was like, it's such a good time to be a black woman.
Which is like weird because I feel like it's still made up. It's just like weird because I feel like it's still made up for really adequately.
Someone was like, how dare Beyonce capitalize off of his death? And I was like, capitalize off of his death. And I was like, she knew he was going to die. And she was working on this for like 2 years, like 120 hours, just to do black girl magic.
this is so much work. To just do one thing on the show. To just do one thing on the show.
So I think that's what confused me about Beyonce, right? Like, winged me about Beyonce, right? Like,
she put out
that album, like, the first, out, like, this. That album.
Then goes,
the
I'm
first,
going
like,
on another
best.
World tour. And, goes,
and
I'm
going on another world tour. It was not, yeah, it was not limited to, like, we're so used to seeing Beyonce in the role. Like, she's so used to seeing perfection.
She has to be that way.
Perfectionist. And here, she was just a, and here, she was just a,
so, so talking about Beyonce, one of the pieces, I think, to consider from that interview, again, capitalism.
That was Margaret Jacobson
in the studio with us talking about capitalism, talking about the critiques of Lemonade, and coming out of Lemonade, sort of that tension between, sort of that tension of beautifulness for black women, and then beautifulness for peace that I think Bellhams really claimed onto. I think capitalism, if you're buying into capitalism, you are buying into patriarchy, therefore anti-feminist, therefore anti-feminist. Any thoughts about that one, though? Any thoughts about that one? It's heavy. I know.
Did you guys read it?
Yes, I mean, I think this is really complex. I mean, I think it's really complex. I feel like, for me, I always go back to slavery. The reason black women were brought here was for capitalism to work. Our bodies were sold.
Because Beyonce is, she definitely has, like, Beyonce is, she's looking really good
in the video.
Looking really good.
And I feel like she's kind of
like, well, Beyonce's
proud.
I feel like she's kind of like black bodies pretty much. But also, I feel like there were scenes
pretty much.
But also, like, in there were scenes on the bus where, like, in exclusively black females kind of just celebrating together. And I feel like that's different than other music videos that you see where black females are in, where it's like you see black females there and we're there. For someone else's consumption, and you're not seeing someone else, it's just there for each other. So I feel like Bell has, though, I feel like just seeing theories in general, but just pop culture. pop culture, yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely not the first time Bohus has done, like, Beyonce looks so good, and, like, it's nominated, and it looks so well feminist, and it means you all very interesting and anti-fem, and yet she's an anti-fem, and yet she supports, like, Emma Watson, and supports her, not Emma Watson.
But I feel like the commodification of black bodies is, like, very interesting to me,
because I feel like, that's how our country was born. That's how our faux country world keeps turning those anti-blackness and commodification into body blackness.
But, like, who are we to not do that ourselves?
Like, who are we to not do that ourselves?
Like, Beyonce has a baby thing.
Like, Beyonce has a baby thing.
Beyonce needs to buy some new shoes.
Beyonce needs to buy some new shoes.
Beyonce wants to go to Popeyes.
Beyonce wants to go to Popeyes.
Yes.
And she just wants to do that. I think it's interesting how
eating.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how
eating.
I think it's interesting how y'all mentioned that he's vulnerable, even when I'm not, like, I want to be vulnerable, like, to be, like, a world in which to be, like, a vulnerable, like, to be, like, a world in which 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 to be, like, bring that up. And,
And of course, I'm not to go too much into Nicki Minaj, that's not the only track on that Nicki Minaj album that has that vulnerable bent to it. I think I want to, as we're getting close to closing up, I want to close sort of to closing up on the conversation and talking about healing and reconciliation. Talking about healing and reconciliation. I feel like that was the closing piece. I feel like
for
that
Lemonade.
Was the closing piece. Talking about
for Lemonade.
Not necessarily entirely like losing
not necessarily
access to anger and feeling like that, but there's a lot of vulnerability and then there's a lot of vulnerability and controversy and about we're not sure this is cheating. We're not going to talk about this cheating, but we're not the sort of the decision to close on that very hopeful note. Which I feel like a lot of people have connected with. Excited about
I'll tell you this one thing that we didn't get to with Marge, talking about her daughter and just being excited about her family, just being excited to see love from this. She loves herself, loves her skin, loves her hair, would you say you still got that overall message? Would you say you still got by the end of it or throughout?
I think so. I mean, I've never seen it. There are definitely artists that have done videos. There are definitely artists that have they've centered on videos where you know they've centered black women, but not someone as big as Beyonce. Until someone has to have people that are all over the world seeing this, maybe that are in world countries that have maybe a little more like anti-black tendencies and stuff to see like anti-black females portraying this way is. I feel like that's groundbreaking just because she's so accessible to so many people.
So I think towards the end, for me, I think kind of like I said, it was all about women and social knowledge. And I do think, you know, the whole thing is didn't bring up the whole black men, etc. I think maybe even because I have a family. I have four sisters, and it's just about black women.
Yeah, by the end, I did feel something stirring in my womb. It was very stirring in my womb. It was very I began to find myself, living in such anxiety, living in a white state, for the first time in a white state, being afraid to tell my friends about it, being afraid to tell my husband about it, and just not thinking about what it is, being anxious, being stuck, not letting that's my entire life here, and stuff, and I'm like, that's my entire life here, but we're conceivable, and having my self-traded beauty is horrible, and having my self-traded beauty is horrible, and my self-esteem is horrible,
but that was really compelling to me. The component as well of healing, not necessarily reconciliation, and even maybe perhaps counter to reconciliation, because I feel like formation was a really interesting way to end formation, was a really interesting way to end, because it had this very soft, it had this all night long, and so there's that hint that reconciliation is not the end of everything, but looks like we're running out of time.
I appreciate the quote. Who was? I appreciate the quote, the Malcolm X quote that was just like slipped in there. Just because I was like, how? Just because this album is definitely for a certain. This album is definitely for a certain, which is black audience.
Yeah. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. All of you out there as well. All of you, Brown Roses is a collective of Brown Roses women and gender non-conforming radio activists, gender new feminist news and public affairs programming every Friday at 6 o'clock. We're going to be here again next week. We're going to be here again next week. And so please tune in next Friday. And so please tune in. And I'm going to leave you with this one last track. And I'm going to leave you for free some last Beyonce that we'll go out on Beyonce. That we'll go